This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
What is FFC? We'll cover it again here. Harmeet Dhillon is here to join us. What is going on with Don Lemon? Are the Chinese funding biolabs, making biolabs in our country? What should you watch for the Super Bowl halftime show? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. All right. So we're going to cover something, and we're going to keep covering it over and over and over again on this show. And I don't think it's meant to inspire you. Maybe it does. It's certainly not meant to dishearten you, but maybe it does. It's just meant to explain why we are where we are. How is it possible that we have two major political parties, which sucks, but Democrats and Republicans? And, of course, Republicans suck, but we'll get to that another time. Democrats, the modern-day Democrat Party, not your dad's Democrats, the modern-day Democrat Party. They are insanely out of touch with almost every American on the issues, and yet, it's half the country. After the midterms, they're probably going to have the House, possibly even the Senate. There are all these states that are run top to bottom by Democrats, but they're not popular with their views. How could that be? Voter ID is actually a great example of this. Of course, the media will sell this to you as some racist thing, but voter ID, we have all the poll numbers, and it's always been this way, by the way. Voter ID, should you have to show an ID to vote, is insanely popular across the board. Maybe you're sitting there saying, well, with Republicans. No. With independents, popular. With Democrats, popular. Okay, but it must just be white people. Nope, also wrong. Demographically, white, black, Latino, popular across the board. Maybe just men. Nope, men, women, popular across the board. Everyone wants it. 70-some percent in general want it. Democrats? Well, here's Chuck Schumer talking about it.
Polling does suggest, there's a new Pew Research poll, that 95% of Republicans, but also 71% of Democrats like this idea. So why do you not?
It's Jim Crow 2.0. And I called it Jim Crow 2.0, and the right wing went nuts all over the internet. That's because they know it's true. What they're trying to do here is the same thing that was done in the South for decades to prevent people of color from voting. For instance, if you're a woman who got married and changed your last name, you won't be able to show ID and you'll be discriminated against. If you can't find a birth certificate or a proper ID, you'll be discriminated against. This is vicious and nasty. And I said to our Republican colleagues, it will not pass the Senate. You will not get a single Democratic vote in the Senate. We're not reviving Jim Crow all over the country.
Okay, let's skip past all the Jim Crow stupidity. We won't get a single Democrat vote in the Senate, and yet it's an 80-20 issue? 70-30? But no Democrat will support it. Why? Well, let's talk about the C part of FFC. Cheating in elections. Democrats cheat all the time. Every chance they get, they will cheat, come up with fraudulent votes in order to ensure they win elections. They don't care about the poll numbers. If they can't have cheating in elections, their power goes away completely. Let's talk about one of the Fs, fraud, foreigners, and cheating. Let's talk about the foreigners part of it. Another issue that unites almost every American, the deportation of foreigners, not just rapists, by the way. The deportation of foreigners is something that is a popular thing with Americans. Let's go back to the guy. Here's Chuck Schumer.
The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
It's not popular. The American people do not want amnesty. They want illegals deported. Why would you take that stand? Why would every Democrat support them? And remember, we're not just trying to pick on Chuck Schumer here, although that is a real good time. We are talking about top to bottom, every elected Democrat in the United States of America. Whether you are the local dog catcher, all the way up to Chuck Schumer himself, and every one of them in between, they all stand firmly on the 20% side of 80-20 issues. And yet, they have half the political power in the country? How is that possible? In a representative republic, how is that possible? Well, it's not. They cheat. They use fraud to pay off people for votes. Fraud, the money they steal from the taxpayer filters back to them. They bring in foreigners to make up for the fact that Americans hate their guts. And they cheat every single chance they get in every election. Without fraud, foreigners, and cheating, the Democrat Party disappears. It's gone. They would have to close the doors, rename it, rebrand it, and do something completely different. That's not meant to encourage or discourage you, but it's where we are. And credit to the Trump administration, more than any administration I've seen, they're going after all three things. It's not enough. It's not enough. It's never enough. But they are chopping away at the three pillars that hold the Democrat Party up. And that's a very good thing. All right? Hopefully that did not make you uncomfortable. Now, what probably does make you uncomfortable? Communists storming into churches, screaming in people's faces, blocking parents from going to get their kids, and then trying to stay out of prison by claiming the title of journalism. So we thought maybe talking to someone at the DOJ would be helpful. This Don Lemon character and the other dirty communists around him, what kind of time, prison time, are they possibly facing? Harmeet Dhillon joins us in a moment to talk about that. Before we talk about that, let's talk about putting our money where our morals are. We're going to get to the Super Bowl a little later in the show and what you should be watching at halftime, but why? Why change the channel? Because corporate America must be punished. They must feel the lash whenever they violate our values, whenever they spit in our faces. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile need to be taught this lesson. You know who stormed that church in St. Paul, Minnesota? Black Lives Matter. Why don't you do yourself a favor? Go look up your mobile company and Black Lives Matter. Just do an internet search. Did you pay for that? I didn't. I have Pure Talk. You keep your phone, you keep your number. You switch to Pure Talk, you don't ever have to worry about your money going to street animals disrupting a church service. You'll pay less. They're on the same towers. Switch. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Federal agents arrested journalist Don Lemon in Los Angeles after he recently covered protest activities in Minnesota. Once again, the administration is behaving no differently from police states and authoritarian regimes across history. They've arrested a journalist for the crime of doing his job. And let's be very clear, this arrest is not just about one journalist in one incident. The arrest is a dark message to journalists everywhere. If you dare criticize this administration, watch your back.
We cannot trust the Department of Justice. They're an illegitimate organization right now under the leadership of Pam Bondi and the direction of Donald Trump. And so, if anything, the events of today reinforce, as it relates to the Department of Justice targeting journalists and part of the free and fair press, that the Department of Justice cannot be trusted.
I want to be clear that I have loudly encouraged the Trump administration to actually arrest journalists, but they're sadly going to follow the law. So they're not arresting journalists just for what they do. Anyway, joining me now, Harmeet Dhillon, one of these follow the law people, U.S. Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. All right, Harmeet. Sadly, we're not arresting journalists just for being journalists, but we are arresting them when they commit crimes. Can you explain what Don Lemon did to get arrested?
Yes, absolutely. I think the indictment that was returned by a grand jury of ordinary citizens really lays it out very clearly. And that is that Don Lemon wasn't merely a journalist who observed and reported on an attack on a church. He knew the details about it beforehand, high-fived and, you know, gave coffee and donuts and kisses to his fellow conspirators, turned on and off his cameras and mic to facilitate stealth in the attack, switched out his mic and his attire to help get into the church without alarming people prematurely when he then unveiled himself, and actively participated in acts that are prohibited by federal law, including but not limited to intimidating, threatening, harassing, and obstructing worshipers in a house of worship, getting into or out of that place. And so these add up to violations of the FACE Act, similar to what the Biden and Obama DOJs prosecuted a pro-life protesters for, actually much, much worse, because in all the pro-life protest cases I'm aware of, the protests took place on the sidewalk outside an abortion clinic, not people trying to break into an operating room and live stream somebody having a medical procedure. And so I think this is a very clear case. But on top of that, when you conspire with other people to do this thing, then you are guilty of conspiracy under the Ku Klux Klan Act. And finally, I would add, I wish I'd worn pearls today so I could clutch them when Chuck Schumer was going on and on about the horrors of arresting journalists, that fully a third of the people we've arrested so far claim to be journalists. They include that guy with the beard, the white guy who was shouting that into children's faces that their parents were the devil and they were the devil and they were evil because they were white, as well as another person who has a podcast or a blog or something and, you know, puts their content on Instagram. Does that make you a journalist? I don't know. Good philosophical question. Irrelevant to whether you're guilty of the crime under the FACE Act or the Klan Act.
It turns out claiming you're a journalist is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. Okay, so Don Lemon and the other savages who interrupted people when they were worshiping God, what kind of time might they be facing here? Where are they going to be prosecuted? Where does this take place? People are obviously concerned about him taking place in blue areas. Do you know any of these things? Can you lay out? What are you allowed to lay out for us on it?
Well, just in general terms, first of all, misdemeanor under the FACE Act for a first offense. Okay, so that's slap on the wrist to months, perhaps up to a year. Then you add the felony charges. Pro-life protesters who protested outside an abortion clinic have been sentenced to years in prison for their single act of protest outside an abortion clinic. So that would give you the parameters of what would happen in a fair setting. Of course, we're the Department of Justice. We seek to do justice. And so a lot will depend on whether individuals plead guilty, cooperate, other criminal history they may have. And also, of course, these cases are going to be tried by default in Minnesota, in a place where some of the judges have not been as favorable as perhaps other jurisdictions. However, it is in the Eighth Circuit, which is a very good, I think, in fair and balanced jurisdiction on the appellate side. So all these factors taken into place, the felony charges under the Ku Klux Klan Act definitely would impose a higher penalty if people are found guilty of that at trial.
I mean, obviously, it's easier to arrest the people on the streets, in the churches, than it is to arrest the elites with $2,000 an hour lawyers who are organizing and paying for this stuff. That's not something that happens instantly. Are we getting anywhere untying the illegal, if it is illegal, network behind all this stuff? Because none of this is organic.
I agree with you that it's not organic. I agree with you that it is almost certainly funded by well-heeled provocateurs who have political reasons for destabilizing our country, perhaps during an election year. That's my opinion, of course. But let me just tell you that whether it's this case or the anti-ICE violence that we're seeing in Los Angeles and Minneapolis and other jurisdictions, or even the protests on American campuses by Hamas-friendly forces, this administration is actually very focused on following the money And so that has definitely been part of our criminal investigations in numerous areas, because you can play whack-a-mole with street-level thugs, but to get to the root of the problem and shut it down, we need to find the sources of the money that are flowing and providing oxygen to these efforts. And I think that's very important. We are dedicated to it.
Harmeet, I understand you are restricted with what you obviously can and can't say because there are legal matters at hand here. But the money, following the money, has that trail, or do you think that trail will lead you overseas? I'm always struck by how often there's some foreign name. Domestically, you can obviously explain a lot of these things, but someone in another country somewhere funding these things, it always seems extra nefarious. You think there's foreign money behind a lot of this?
Well, I'm going to break this down. With regard to the campus and Hamas-type protests, I think you're going to find that there's foreign involvement in those. That's my gut, based on some of the patterns that we've seen. But of course, it remains to be proven and connecting the dots. I'm sorry to say, Jesse, but we have plenty of crazy left-wing domestic billionaires who are more than happy to fund this type of agitprop right here in our United States. And so I don't know, but it's possible. It's possible that there's some foreign involvement. But I think whether it's foreign or domestic, we'd like to get to the bottom of it. And some of these activities are well beyond the pale. The funding of the police scanning and breaking into cars and doxing ICE agents and terrorizing people and death threats and all of that, like, that is not protest. That is illegal attacks on federal law enforcement and obstruction of justice. We will not stand for it at this Department of Justice.
Harmeet, what's on the Harmeet table for Super Bowl Sunday? Is it chips? Are you a pizza person? Is it healthy?
I'll be visiting my mom that day in North Carolina. It probably will be largely healthy. It might be a little spicy, might be some spicy nuts and some spicy dip and some hummus. We're not really, we're kind of a healthy eating family, I would say.
My wife
Sorry.
Loves hummus.
Sorry to disappoint. There's no junk food at her house, unfortunately, so.
Harmeet, take care. I appreciate you. Hummus. Every time the ob sits down and she's eating hummus, I don't even understand it. I don't understand why you'd pay 20-30% interest rates either. And let me clarify. Do you own a home? Do you also have high interest debt? And I know you know what I mean. 20, 25, 28, 35%. You have a lot of that. You should probably get a hold of American Financing. You know that mortgage rates, 3-year lows right now, as low as the fives. You couldn't dream about fives 2 years ago. I remember seeing billboards advertising, come on in, we have 8%, advertising it. Let American Financing help you. Please don't pay 20% and let your just life be drained away by interest rates. Go to AmericanFinancing.net/Jesse. And just find out what they can do, or call them, 866-891-2821. Just give them a call, see what they can do. We'll be back. There are Chinese stories that don't capture our attention. I'm not exactly sure why. I can guess, but I'm not exactly sure why. China has been waging war on the United States of America fairly openly for a very long time. Now, it's not bombs and bullets and things like that, by the grace of God, but it's very much warfare. What did they do with a bio lab? Las Vegas? Joining me now, Jerry Dunleavy, wonderful chief investigative correspondent with Just the News. And I don't just say that because he's my buddy. Okay, Jerry, I know that many people go to Las Vegas and get viruses, but what's going on there?
So over the weekend, the FBI and Las Vegas police raided a property in Vegas, a garage that was clearly a biolaboratory. There's no way around it. It was filled with mysterious vials, chemicals, refrigerators filled with shady stuff, and hazmat materials, all sorts of stuff. So the interesting thing about this property in Vegas is that it is connected to and owned by a Chinese national who's currently in prison in connection to a biolab that he ran in California. So, and as I've kind of laid out, the DOJ and FBI have actually known that this Chinese national that they've had in custody since 2023 has owned a ton of properties, owns a ton of properties across the US, including this one in Vegas. And so it took them until February of this year to raid this location, and they found that there's a biolab there. And the biolab in California was from back all the way back in 2023. And that biolab had samples marked E. coli, HIV, malaria. And this Chinese national, who, by the way, is a fugitive from Canada, who is operating in the United States under a fake alias, this guy is currently being prosecuted for fraud for selling fake COVID-19 tests that he was importing from China. And yet, this whole time, he's been in charge of properties like this one in Vegas that still has what looks like at least the remnants of a biological laboratory.
Okay, this is so beyond my expertise, and it seems so obviously nefarious. Do you know, Jerry, of, and it doesn't have to specifically be this case, any instances in this country where they're trying to deploy these bioweapons? Not that it's okay to keep it in your deep freezer in the garage, I'm certainly not defending that, but are they trying to use them on us?
It's a great question. Of course, we can just immediately go back to what happened at the Wuhan lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, probably back in 2019 when COVID-19 very likely escaped from that lab, and that lab, of course, had links to the Chinese military. So we know that the Chinese Communist Party is doing dangerous viral research in China. Now, what was this Chinese national in the United States doing? We know that he was running fraudulent schemes. We know that he was selling fake COVID-19 tests that he was importing from China. We know that he ran an illicit biological laboratory in California, and it looks like he had at least a sort of side project version of that or a storage portion of it in Vegas. And we know that this Chinese national who's been in jail since 2023 was linked to China's what's called their United Front Work Department. This Chinese national's accountant here in the US who helped him set up his businesses is directly linked to the CCP. And my guess is that this Chinese national who's currently in prison and was in charge of the properties running these labs, my guess is that he's linked to the CCP as well. Has China deployed things like this? It's hard to say. I don't think that there's firm evidence yet. This is suggestive that obviously people linked to the CCP are willing to do this sort of seemingly dangerous research here inside the United States. Now, what would the reason for that be? A bit of it would be guesswork. Do they just want to do it? Are they just scammers? Are they just shady people? Or are they trying to set up for some sort of potential release or some sort of potential false flag in the United States so that they'd be able to direct attention away from where these where these viral outbreaks are really occurring, which is in China? But would they want to release something from one of these little labs to try and make it seem like it's starting in the US instead? I don't know for sure. All that I know is that this is illegal and it's suggestive of connection to the CCP.
Speaking of a connection to the CCP, you have a story out, wonderful story out for Just the News, about the CCP and students coming into our universities. It's your story. What's happening?
So, look, I mean, the U.S. has all of these sort of red flag lists and blacklists and warnings that we come up with about various Chinese institutions and various Chinese universities and blah, blah, blah. The problem is that the U.S. universities and labs, almost all of which are getting significant funding from the federal government, don't seem to care about these warnings. And so I put together a story that's based on a new report that's out that shows that top U.S. universities and labs that are working on some of the most sensitive advanced research, almost all of which has military applications, these American universities and colleges and labs are hiring Chinese academics who are card-carrying members of the Chinese Communist Party, who are members of what's called China's Thousand Talents Program, which is explicitly a CCP effort to steal U.S. technology and to convince members of universities and professors and researchers to steal U.S. tech and knowledge or to sell it to China. These Chinese academics are graduates of universities that are directly underneath the control of and are working for the Chinese military or the Chinese defense industry. And some of these Chinese academics working in the U.S. have previously collaborated with Chinese intelligence-linked firms like Huawei, or have worked for Chinese defense companies like the Aviation Industry Corporation in China, which no one here in the U.S. has heard of AVIC, but it's one of the biggest defense companies in the entire world, and its sole purpose is to help build up the People's Liberation Army. So all of these connections to China that I just mentioned are things that are publicly on these Chinese academics' resumes when we are bringing them into universities like Harvard, the University of Michigan, Penn State, Carnegie Mellon. I could go on and on and on. They're coming here. They're working in sensitive areas. They're learning a lot. And they're then bringing that knowledge, that know-how, back to China. And the interesting thing about it is that there might not even be any way that you'd be able to tell if they are, quote-unquote, stealing this knowledge and bringing it back to China, because we're bringing them into our top universities and top labs to work on this Pentagon and Department of Energy funded research. We're bringing them in, they're learning it, and then they just go back home knowing what the U.S. is up to, what the U.S. is learning, and they did it, you know, all with U.S. federal funding. So it's pretty incredible, but you know, I think that this is honestly just scratching the surface of the problem that we have here of sort of funding our own demise as China looks to, you know, knock us off the pedestal as the most powerful country in the world.
Jerry, what's the Singham Network?
So Neville Roy Singham is a very wealthy American businessman and open Marxist and communist, just by his own admission. He sold his tech company back in 2017, and if he's not a billionaire, he's probably pretty close to it. He's living in Shanghai, China, and he is the backer of what I've kind of deemed the Singham Network here in the U.S. I don't know if I've deemed it that. I call it that. He funds some of the most sort of far-left but effective far-left and communist and Marxist revolutionary groups, activists, and organizers. Things like the People's Forum in Manhattan, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. He is either funding or The people that he's funding are connected to also groups like Code Pink, Answer, and a variety of other groups. And these groups are extremely effective, especially at organizing protests across the country. When the big thing on the left was the anti-Israel or pro-Hamas protests, you could bet that the Singham Network was the key node in organizing those. When it switched very briefly to opposing the capture of Maduro, the Singham Network was behind those protests. Now that we've shifted to anti-ICE being the big focus on the left, the Singham Network has been critical in organizing those protests. So they're very effective. They're very good at getting all of these other left-wing groups and organizers to join with them in these efforts. And so, you know, and while Singham is funding this and helping organize all of this, he's sitting in, you know, an office in Shanghai, China, that is co-located with a Chinese state-run propaganda outlet. So it's pretty stunning stuff. And again, just like with the Chinese student infiltration in our universities, the more that I look at the Singham Network, the more that I see that there's more to discover there.
Good God. Well, now we're all terrified. Jerry, thank you, brother. I appreciate you, as always. All right. I guess we'll do some Super Bowl talk. I'll explain in a moment. Before we get to that, what are you going to be snacking on? I know. Super Bowl Sunday. I get it. It's going to be pizza and wings, and I'm an American. I got all that. You need some chips? I know there's going to be a chip dip. You're not an American if there's not going to be a chip dip. What chips are you going to be dipping? I know in my household, we're going for the crunch. And because we're going to be eating as poorly as humanly possible, we should probably mix in something that isn't seed oils. Massa chips. This is their Super Bowl. Let's see what I did. Anyway, they're amazing. Simple ingredients. Corn, beef tallow, salt. None of this cancer-causing garbage. Go look at the ingredients on the back of a bag of Massa chips. Get yourself some Massa chips for Super Bowl Sunday and every other Sunday after that where you can snack on some chips guilt-free. Gosh, I love them. MassaChips.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
On your second question, I think everybody would want to listen. Bad Benny I think that was demonstrated last night, one of the great artists in the world.
I'm going to say Eyes Out.
And that's one of the reasons we chose him. But the other reason is he understood the platform he was on, and that this platform is used to unite people and to be able to bring people together with their creativity, with their talents, and to be able to use this moment to do that. And I think artists in the past have done that. I think Bad Bunny understands that, and I think he'll have a great performance.
I want to remind you, we all need to put our money where our morals are, myself included. That includes your eyeballs and ears. I'm not here to scold you about the Super Bowl, but you know they track what you watch minute by minute, right? You can watch the big game and not watch that anti-American filth at halftime. I wonder what else you would watch, though. Joining me now, Andrew Colvett, Turning Point USA spokesman. They've obviously been through a lot. Andrew's doing pretty freaking outstanding work over there. Andrew, I don't want to watch Bad Bunny in a freaking dress gay up the Super Bowl halftime show. Is there anything else I can watch?
Well, I'm so glad you asked, Jesse, because yes, the people asked and we delivered, and we have the All-American Halftime Show coming up approximately 8 p.m. Eastern on Sunday evening. We just happened to schedule it then. Just complete coincidence.
Oh.
But
How about that?
Yeah, how about it? Yeah, we are very excited about this, I have to say. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, it's one of those things where over the years, we actually went back and we found Charlie's tweets about every halftime show throughout the years. And the first one we found This, I don't know what it was, but he could not help himself. He tweeted at almost every halftime show. It became a running joke around here. But the first one that he did was 2014. It had one like, Jesse, one measly like. And he posed a question. He said, what, is clothing optional at the halftime show? So this is a really full circle moment for us here at Turning Point.
How I understand that Turning Point is an incredible organization, but how is it possible you guys are always able to pull together these big events and big acts? It's hard to get together 15 people in the neighborhood for a decent party and work out the menu and who's going to be bringing that. And yet you guys pull this off. I could never do that in a million years.
Yeah, I mean, we genuinely have the best team in the business. Either side of the aisle, I would put them up against any other industry. You know, it's something that we've built over the years. Charlie put his heart and soul into these events, and he wanted them to be excellent. You know, I think when he was coming of age, coming up through the ranks, you know, there wasn't much out there, and it was a real point of differentiation, especially because you're working with young people and high school and college students. You want it to be fun, exciting. You want the high production value. You want it to be excellent. And so we've just been building this expertise over the years. And of course, you saw that at the memorial for Charlie, and you pulled that off in about a week. And nobody slept. Everybody threw in their time, their energy. They dropped whatever they were doing to do that. But we couldn't have pulled that event off had we not had years and years and years of hosting these big conferences and these events. And, you know, people don't know it, but Turning Point Action actually hosted the RFK endorsement event of Donald Trump back in 2024. And we were given that task with a couple weeks lead time. So, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and this is kind of a different struggle. I will say the task was different because, you know, you're going up against a machine. And I just want to give a huge shout out to Kid Rock, Brantley Gilbert, Lee Bryce, Gabby Barrett. These are really brave artists to do this, because I will tell you, you know, there was a lot of conversations had with certain artists, and, you know, they'd be like, yes, I'm all in. And then it would be like, okay. Because, you know, it takes courage to do this. It takes courage to go up against the machine and to stand on your values. So huge, huge shout out to them. And I just want to say, I've seen the rehearsal footage already, Jesse. This is visually stunning. Musically, it's completely epic. And whereas the other guys, they have cameras up in the rafters, and, you know, it's a mile down to the floor of the stadium, this is going to be immersive, high octane. It puts you right in the action. So it's a completely different product.
Andrew, as you are well aware, I am stupid and I don't know anything about technology. So this is actually genuine questions here. I need to know, how do I watch? Make it easier for me. Can I go in person? Is that even an option? If I'm sitting at home, is it on my phone? How do I watch this? Because I don't want to watch Bad Bunny.
Yeah. The Conejo Malo. We've got it on multiple streaming platforms. So that's the first thing people need to know. Like, if you have a TV right now, chances are you have a YouTube app, right? Or you could get a Rumble app. So it's going to be all over Turning Point's YouTube, our X feed. It's going to be on our Rumble, right? But in addition, we've got OAN, which is a great partner. They've got it. NTD, another great outlet, they're going to have it. Real America's Voice, they're going to have it. TBN, which is on a lot of people's traditional cable, so you can get it on TBN. Check in advance. You could switch over if that's what's easier. Daily Wire Plus, Sinclair's broadcasting OTT channel, Charge. So you can check it out on any of those platforms. But I make a plan is the key. So this is what was interesting. I call this the coalition of the willing. And there's so many other people that probably would have loved to been involved. But these were the folks that stood with us, and we're grateful to them. And you know, since we made the announcement, a lot of other great people have been like, oh, I wish I would have known, or I wish I could have done this. But, you know, the way these appearance rights work is you can only give out so many licenses. So we are maxed out on licenses. So even if we wanted to bring other partners in, it just doesn't work that way legally, unfortunately. But just make a plan ahead of time. If you have a YouTube app, you can on your smart TV, you can just switch over to that. Check out TBN. Maybe it's on your cable provider if that's easier for you, or, you know, bring it up on your device and stream it to your TV during halftime. But it'll happen right there. As soon as the action stops, switch over, but have that plan ahead of time if you're technically challenged like Jesse.
I've already told my neighborhood party that's what we're doing. I browbeat everybody. Everyone's on board. Everyone's okay.
Well,
so go ahead.
Well, I'm saying this, what you're doing is amazing, actually, because this is an opportunity to bring people that maybe wouldn't tune in on their own. You bring them to your, if you're barbecuing, if you're hosting people, you know, bring them. Let the, if the, you got hate watchers, that's cool too. Welcome. I'm telling you, this is going to be an excellent, excellent product because I've seen some of the original rehearsals that have come out as a, you know, prelim, and it is really, really good. I invite you to try and find something to hate about it. So I think it's an opportunity to bring people that wouldn't normally get exposed to faith, family, freedom, pro-America. And there's a little shout out to Charlie in there, of course, as well. But it's going to be a celebration and an epic performance. This is not B or, you know, JV or something like that.
As there should be, man, what a talent. Andrew, so by the way, everybody, I've seen Kid Rock in concert 2 times in my life. And even if you don't like Kid Rock's music, what a freaking performer. Trust me, it'd be good.
Yes.
All right, Andrew, the NFL, as you mentioned, the machine, the NFL is a juggernaut. Biggest Turning Point USA is, it's not the NFL. How are they taking this news? Did they even bother reaching out? Hey, do you want to partner? Anything?
You know, Jesse, I wish I could get into more of that, but I'm being cautious. I'm being cautious.
No,
I'm just going to say this is, you know, Kid Rock has framed it as David versus Goliath, and you know they want to sing in Spanish and you know, maybe wear dresses for queer identity, whatever. That's cool. You do you. We're going to play great music for Americans that love great music and love the country.
I love it. Andrew, in the wake of the martyr of Charlie Kirk, one of our most important leaders, obviously that was terrible, but I see church attendance numbers, Andrew, and it inspires me. I know it's something that Charlie obviously would have wanted. You mentioned the memorial. It was a gigantic worship service. There was hardly a dry eye in my house, I'll tell you that much. It was just wonderful. Good can come from terrible evil, and since you are on the inside, I'm not part of it. I'm assuming you've seen that, and I hope you have, because it's credit to you and the others involved.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, there's been a lot of noise in even the aftermath of that, and I always just tell people, like, God has put it on my heart, and I feel so firmly rooted in this, and I just know it to be true. What God has unleashed, man cannot stop. So just ignore the noise and just know that God is moving. He's working. And, you know, right in the aftermath, we didn't see cities get burned down. We didn't see businesses looted. We saw prayer vigils. We saw memorials. We had thousands of people outside of Turning Point day after day after day for weeks on end, crying, praying, singing. It was just this 24/7 worship service outside of HQ. And, you know, Charlie would have been so proud of that. He would have been so proud of the way that the people that resonated with him, his fans, the way that they reacted, the way they responded. We saw baptisms, record Bible sales, church attendance spiking. Charlie lived long enough to see that uptick in young people going back to church, and I think Charlie played a huge role in that. I think Charlie played a huge role in that in life and in death, and that's his legacy. He wanted to be known for courage for his faith, and that's the way he will be remembered forever, because he was so bold, he was unapologetic. He wove his faith into just about everything he did. It fueled him. It fueled his fire. It fueled the way he conducted himself and the way he ran Turning Point. And, you know, the truth is the truth. He lived his life with integrity. He built Turning Point with integrity. And, you know, that's gonna go forward. You cannot bring that down. That's why I say what God has unleashed, what God has started, man cannot stop. So I'm excited to see the ripple effects that I will never fully understand or comprehend when I get to see my Lord face to face and understand just what a huge, incomprehensible legacy that Charlie will leave behind.
Amen. Praise God for you guys, brother. Wishing you all the best. If I can ever help in any way, let me know. Go watch Turning Point halftime show. Not that Sodom and Gomorrah filth. Andrew, my brother, you are welcome anytime. Appreciate you. All right. We have light in the movie. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And don't forget, free book, free booklet. Like, I should start calling it a booklet. My little red book, we're just emailing it out. Thousands of people have already gotten it. They're discovering we didn't try to scam anybody. Just go to jessekelly.com and put in your email address. Don't email me asking for the book. jessekelly.com. Put in your email address. Bleep. It just magically comes to you. I think you will enjoy it. I'm glad you are enjoying it. Now, Army Staff Sergeant Michael Aulis. He's a hero. He shielded a man, a Polish man, and gave his life for that man. This is one of those special moments that you want to make sure you watch. His family got a phone call. Now, nothing can replace the loss of your son. Nothing. But imagine knowing your son died a hero and then getting this phone call from President Trump.
Robert and Linda.
Hi, Mr. President.
Hi, Mr. President. Hello. How are you?
Well, how are you both, okay?
We're nervous.
We're very nervous.
I know. You should be, because your son is going to get the highest honor that you can have. There's no higher honor than the Congressional Medal of Honor. He's going to get it, and Michael is going to be, he's looking down at you right now. And he's saying, well, my mom and dad are handling this pretty well, right?
Oh, I hope so. Thank you so much. President, Mr. President, you have no idea the happiness we have.
Thank you for facilitating this. This is so wonderful of you. We are so thrilled because we've been working on it for so long and spoke to so many people, but you made it happen.
Yeah. I will see you in the White House soon.
Oh, yes! We're going to the White House! We love you! We're playing for you every day! Yes! Let's do this! MAGA!
That's beautiful.
Yes!
That family deserved a little bit of happiness. And obviously the hero deserved to be honored. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.